Sr. Presidente do Senado da Austrália, Senador John Hogue, os nossos cumprimentos. A Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros tem muita honra em recebê-lo e em dialogar consigo sobre os grandes problemas políticos do nosso tempo, do nosso país e da Austrália. E gostaríamos de lhe transmitir a honra que temos em recebê-lo e ouvir da sua parte o que considerar adequado sobre o sistema político australiano, o funcionamento do Senado e o funcionamento da Comissão de Estrangeiros, homóloga da nossa.
Mr. President of the Senate, welcome. We have great pleasure in receiving you here. Please accept our best regards. It's an honor to meet you and to dialogue with you on political problems, current political problems that Portugal and Australia face, and to hear you on the issues related to the Australian political system, the functioning of the Australian Senate, and also the functioning of the counterpart committee in Australia.
Gostaria de transmitir agora a palavra aos meus colegas dos diversos grupos parlamentares para se dirigirem ao Sr. Presidente, se assim o entenderem. E por isso passo a palavra à Sra. Deputada, ao Sr. Deputado António Rodrigues, ou Mónica Ferro, não sei qual dos seus deputados quer pronunciar.
Senator, it's a pleasure. Here we should speak in Portuguese, I'm sorry. No. Senator, it's a pleasure to meet you again. We already had the opportunity to meet today. Allow me to give you the welcome to the Foreign Affairs Committee in the name of my party and the name of my cell phone also. It's bad luck.
What did we do pre-cell phones?
Yeah. As you said at lunchtime, it's much more important for Australia nowadays to discuss this in the next cell phone than to discuss the policy. So I was just trying to give you an example.
I'm glad.
Well, coming back to what is important for us today, it is welcoming you to the Portuguese Parliament. It's always an honor to receive such a high visit from for an officer, mainly when he's a president of Parliament and a very good country, a very friendly country that Australia, I think, is to Portugal. In spite, in the past, we had some issues to be solved as we talked. But I think that being a part or a member of the Commonwealth is just a first principle to be a very good friend of Portugal. And being also a very important country in the Pacific, it's always an important matter to discuss foreign policy because Pacific is becoming one of the most important parts of the world. So it's important to hear what you can tell us also, not only about your country, but also what do you think about the Asian policies and the connection among the geographic region between Australia, China, the triangle that is centered on the Pacific. And of course, the relations between Australia and Europe, and mainly the connections that you can have with Portugal. What is important for us is always to establish relations with friendly countries and know what they think about the European policy, what they think about the Portuguese policy, and how can we help each other to establish the main part and the important part of our issues nowadays. It is peace in the world, of course, and how to establish better relations among the countries. We know you have a difficult task and a matter that is quite important for Portugal, that is the independence and the development of East Timor. We had a very historical responsibility there in the past, so I believe that we still have it, and Australia has an important role to play there because you have a historical friendship with what was before a barrier to the independence of East Timor. So it's important to establish good and peaceful and lasting relations in the future. So if you could talk to us a bit about these relations. I know it's not an easy task and it's not a simple task to do, but It's important to hear your opinion about this. And I would finish only to say that, once again, I would welcome your visit. You will always be welcomed personally, and your institution will always be welcome to the Portuguese Parliament, as we think that the parliamentary institutions are the most important ones to establish democracy in each country and all around the world also. Thank you very much for your visit.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Partido Socialista, Grupo Parlamentar, Sra. Deputada Maria de Belém. Tem a palavra.
Well, Senator, once again, in the name of the Socialist Party Parliamentarian Group, I'd like to welcome you and tell again how interesting for us have been these several meetings we have been holding, because your way of talking openly about all the subjects, the way, not institutionalized way of seeing things and gathering all the subjects and talking openly about them, I think it's very important. And I always think that we cannot solve any problem if we cannot explain it so and talk openly about it. So I think it's a good basis for a good relationship between our institutions, Australian Parliament and Portuguese Parliament. And besides that, and taking profit of being during the lunch hearing you, perhaps it would be interesting about the issues my colleague talked about to learn a little bit more of the how you see your relationship with Latin America. As you know, we have a special linkage and a very deep historical link with the Latin America, not only with Brazil, but with all the countries over there. And perhaps it could be very interesting to hear something from you about what you think about it, what we think of the role of these countries in the future. And how could we take a good advantage of all the movements that nowadays we can make around the world and around different civilizations, different cultures, and how we could improve adding all these experiences. Another issue I already told you, I think that now we have a very active ambassador in here. We can understand it, feel it. And I think that it's always a very important thing in order to deep our relationship and in order to deep our work, the work we can do together. So, thank you, Ambassador, and welcome again.
Muito obrigado, Sra. Deputada. Sr. Deputado Lino Ramos tem a palavra.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Como é óbvio, falarei na minha língua mãe. Dar as boas-vindas ao Sr. Presidente do Senado australiano. É a segunda vez que nos encontramos. Tivemos um almoço muito agradável, muito informal, no qual tive a oportunidade de ter conhecimento como é que se sente um menos monárquico ou menos entusiasta monárquico numa monarquia, o que é interessante, que é para ver o contraponto como se sente um monárquico convicto num sistema republicano.
So welcome, Mr.
Muito obrigado,
President.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado.
It's the second time I have the opportunity of meeting you. The previous one was during a very pleasant and informal lunch where I became aware of the way not so enthusiastic monarchic feels in comparison to a not so enthusiastic Republican.
Durante o almoço, notei que se referiu à situação geopolítica da Austrália. Falou por diversas vezes em alguns países que se situam geograficamente próximo da Austrália e que o mundo observa. Nota-se que a Austrália está no centro de um novo mundo, por assim dizer, mas onde emergem algumas situações preocupantes de conflito. A óbvia e a ascendência da China neste novo mundo tem sido vista com alguma atenção, particularmente o relacionamento que esta mantém com o Japão. Neste contexto de diferenças de opiniões e muitas vezes que chegam ao ponto militar em que os Estados Unidos já denotou ou já se colocou ao lado do Japão, em que situação é que este conflito poderia deixar a Austrália nesta geopolítica nova que se adivinha com este novo mundo?
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Meu caro Presidente, tenho a palavra para...
During the luncheon, you mentioned the geopolitical situation in which Australia is situated. You have also referred some neighboring countries that also the world is watching. It can be said that Australia is in the center of a new world, but there are also situations of conflict that are arising in some of those countries. One of those cases could be China. The dispute with Japan over some matters has been watched with concern. And on military issues, the United States have sided on these military issues. The United States have already sided with Japan, and it would be interesting to know how Australia views and this situation.
Agora sim, meu caro Presidente, com esta última e difícil questão, tenho a palavra.
Thank you very much. Seeing we're going to be here till 5:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, when I finish covering these few issues, I'll try to even make it briefer than that. You have laid down a large number of issues there. I'll try to handle them as best as I can. There's one caveat I always make on these meeting occasions, such as when I meet with a Foreign Affairs Committee or any committee of the Parliament. Firstly, I do not represent the government's view. I am here in my capacity, my private capacity as a senator, and secondly, I'm here in my capacity as the presiding officer. As the presiding officer, I am fairly neutral in a whole range of areas, but that doesn't mean that I don't express a political view. I will express a political view. I'm not backward in speaking my mind, so I say that to you. Everyone's right. Let me start. At the beginning, and I'll try to work my way through the range of issues. The first thing that I would say to you is that this year in Australia is an election year. Therefore, our Parliament will be prorogued in August. We know the dates, which is unusual, and the election will be held on the 4th of September. So most of the work of our parliamentary committees, and that's generally my focus as a presiding officer, will wind down. In particular, there are two separate committees, one which would be, you've only got one house, so that's the difficulty. We have two houses, and probably the more senior of the committees is known as the Joint Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade. And that committee is like this committee. everyone wants to be on it, and of course it breaks into four subcommittees. Now, I've never served on this committee. It's not that they didn't trust me, but I've never served on the committee. But it looks at trade, defence, human rights, and there is another area that escapes me, unless the ambassador can help me out at this hour in the afternoon. And I'll think of it. So there are trade, human rights, defence, and there's one more. But it doesn't aid. So it looks specifically in those subcommittees at the range of issues that you've raised with me. Specifically, for example, it would look at our relationship with China. So it speaks in those inquiries on behalf of the parliament, not of the government. And the government bureaucrats from the Department of Foreign Affairs, from whatever the appropriate department might be, will appear, as well as having experts from other areas, think tanks, represent. It may well be that other governments are prepared to make comments and so on. In respect of China and Japan, let me deal with that firstly. I would suspect that the approach of the Australian government will be that is best settled between the Chinese and the Japanese. We're not known to meddle in other people's affairs, and this has been a long-standing disagreement between the two countries. By virtue of the fact that the US may well have sided with the Japanese, does not mean that unilaterally we will follow what the US have done or what the US have said. Nonetheless, we would be urging both sides through our diplomatic arrangements to ensure that the matter was settled in a sensible and reasonable way. Now, some of those things are not easy, as you would appreciate, because let me just give you an example of something that's closer to home, and that is the division that exists within Cyprus. Disagreement about Cyprus has been in the making over a long period of time, so much so that the Australians have contributed to the peacekeeping force in Cyprus ever since the partition line was agreed upon. So, and history is dotted with many things not being resolved in a simplistic and expeditious manner. Nonetheless, we have just celebrated our 50 years of friendship with China. The subject of major celebration, that was the end of last year, if my memory serves me correctly. All these things just blur. So we do have a very good relationship with China. But bear in mind also that we have a very good relationship with Japan. I mean, just Japan, in spite of its economic woes, is still a major trading partner of Australia. And of course, so too is China. And therefore, we are, whilst it might be a very superficial way to say that one is right and the other is wrong, many of these disputes take a long time to resolve, and of course we're not jumping in prematurely in that sense. We have fostered and developed our relationship with China, and someone raised the issue of Asia. I mean, let's be quite blunt. We have just released a paper on the future, the Asian century, looking to that area as being a continuing part of our growth and our development. Now, if you had the if you had the opportunity to visit Australia, but in particular my state, the state of Queensland, when I flew out of Brisbane Tuesday week ago, fortunately it was a cloud-free day like it is out here, and I just could see only a reasonably limited part, of course, of the terrain as I flew over, but it is one massive coal mine down almost 2,000 kilometres of inland. And of course, we have enough coal to export, and we do export, to places like China to feed their manufacturing industries and keep the growth that's going there in their economy. And of course, that is one of the things that underpins the Australian economy. Then we turn to Western Australia, where there is absolutely mountains of iron ore. And of course, that iron ore wends its way into the major manufacturing plants in China, in South Korea, and that's where our coal is shipped as well, of course, as into Tokyo or into Japan. So we see Asia, that part of Asia, as being important to us. But do not underestimate the growth that's going to take place in places such as Vietnam. Vietnam is a very aggressive country in terms of its development. And we meet delegations from the Republic of Vietnam on at least three or four occasions per year. Now, that mightn't sound a lot, but in terms of the commitment of the Parliament, it is substantial indeed. And of course, you might recall that in the 1970s, we were one of the allied partners that were there in the period of the Vietnamese War. And of course, whilst that's behind us now, we see them as much as trading partners, as former foes and former enemies, as we did with the Japanese. So whilst we are not fixated on Asia, we know that because of its proximity, they need not only our coal, and fossil fuel, let's face it, in spite of climate change and in spite of the advocates for the abolition of fossil fuels are still going to play a significant role in industries such as iron, steel making, and you know, you look at the huge plants there that manufacture everything. They manufacture everything. There's nothing in China that they don't manufacture and or wherever else it might be. So we really see ourselves as being an important resource centre in that sense. Now, let's just turn. If you want to turn to the real, what one of the real issues is in our area, I think it's the issue of North Korea. The issue of North Korea is very destabilising, not simply for us, but for the Chinese and the Japanese as well. It's a great concern because they are now undertaking numerous nuclear tests since Kim Il-sung has gone and his son has come along. We are seeing an increase in the number of tests. That's the first thing. The second thing is we're seeing an increase in their rocket program, which will enable them to deliver nuclear warheads. I saw a map published in one of the papers the other day which shows that whilst their initial foray into producing an intercontinental ballistic missile that would deliver
the warhead, they're improving the technology that they have there. And let me say, it's a major consideration in terms of the stability of the region, of this growth in North Korea's capacity to produce, and not only produce, but to deliver nuclear warheads in the region. And that of course, you superimpose that upon the Chinese-Japanese byplay, and you say, well, what's more important? Now, I can't speak on behalf of those governments, nor my own, as I said, and I don't pretend to, but I would put to you that they are far more interested in not whether China's right or Japan's right over their territorial dispute, but whether or not they can collectively come together to stop the advance of the nuclear program in the hands of Kim Il-sung's son. So it's sometimes not the thing that divides us that cause the problem. There are other things that unite us. There will be things where we disagree, but more importantly, that's something that I think we need to look at positively. That, in that sense, and one should not just interpret Australia as just having a narrow focus on Asia as in any way. Whilst we see it as and ourselves as being primarily placed to have trade into those regions, we know that we can't compete with the Chinese and with these other markets in terms of what they can manufacture and export into our markets. So we have got to pick industries where we have the advantage, where we have the skills into their markets to export. And believe it or not, one of the real market advantages that we have and is sought after is education. Our education facilities are held in high standing in that part of the Asian region. And so we have a lot of countries that will send their students into Australia, and sometimes we have Australian institutions forming partnerships with universities in that part of the world, but predominantly we get a huge influx by way of, and that's an export for us, education, into those areas. So we are focused on improving our skills of delivery in those areas, that there are burgeoning populations that are seeking skills. We have the capacity, we have the ability, and we have the know-how to deliver into those markets, and I think we're doing that reasonably well. But one should not be just blinded by Asia alone, because we then go over to Asia Minor, if we can call it, and I don't know if that's still a popular term, but into India, for example. Whilst I haven't led a delegation into India yet, I recently led a delegation into Pakistan. And if Pakistan can get a few of its basics right, there is an enormous market there in terms of the Australian industry, Australian technology, Australian know-how. We're not going to be sending manufactured vehicles, or we're not going to be sending fridges or anything else, but we've got expertise in services, expertise in water management, agriculture, that we will be selling into those regions. And I know that the Pakistan people welcomed us with open arms, even though we were there, albeit for a very short period of time. But then our focus is doesn't stop there, because we then go to the issue of security, and we look at a place such as Afghanistan, where you people have been involved, but we see ourselves as having a not just a military role to play in that area. We see ourselves as having a parliamentary role, because our parliamentary role flows into the issue of good governance, flows into the issue of good practice within government, so that where we sit around this table and accept the operation of a Foreign Affairs Committee as being something that is normal and acceptable. They don't even understand the concepts of running a parliamentary committee, which demands scrutiny, which demands accountability, and which demands a degree of openness so that their democracy can flourish. So I'm trying to do this in a way such that you see where our priorities are, but you don't think there's a fixation. Latin America, someone has mentioned, and Latin America is important. Now, Latin America is important because it's a Pacific nation. It's on the Pacific Rim. And again, there are huge trade opportunities there for us in the future. Not now. We will be setting the good relationships up so that when these economies take off, we will be well placed to have Australian industry in a number of key sectors involved in places like Peru, Chile, Colombia. I've been to all of these, not because I'm a great tourist. I don't see much of these places, but I know from my experience how we know that there will be trade and investment opportunities that will be needed to enable the Australian economy to grow. So this is not just simply about callous investment. This is about investing wisely post our period of resource boom, and investing in ways in which the Australian economy can grow and the Australian people can get value out of it. Now, the net result of this is that we have a very good relationship with the Latin American ambassadors. As a matter of fact, as a presiding officer, one of the things that I do on a regular basis is organise dinner meetings, barbecues. You come to my suite, you get a barbecue, we sit around the barbecue, you'll have prawns on the barbie, you'll have whatever else, but we'll have a conducive atmosphere, not only in which we get to know each other's cultures and understand each other's cultures, but we understand the priorities of what they want out of the relationship, and they get to understand what the parliamentary expectation. They know what the government's expectation is. They know what the parliamentary expectation as well is in the processes of government. So they don't only understand how to relate to the government, they know how to relate to the parliament as well. And should I say, in all these other theatres, this is what we're trying to do. Get an understanding of what our parliamentary process, so that when our Joint Foreign Affairs Committee does an inquiry into China or does an inquiry into Japan, then the parliament of that country or the politicians of that country don't have a fear and a reluctance about our inquiry. They understand what is happening. Last but not least, I think I should say something about Europe. We believe that the relationship with Europe has changed dramatically post the Lisbon Treaty. We believe that the European Parliament has taken on a different nature, and over time will become an important player, as well as the bilateral relations that we have developed over a long period of time with the various parliaments such as your own and with others throughout the region. Someone asked me at lunch, I didn't mention the UK. Well, yes, I didn't mention the UK because there are so many countries, as you can see, I can't rattle them all off. But we, you know, I've taken delegations into places such as Bosnia Herzegovina, Croatia, not yet part of the EU, I understand. But we've taken them into other places as well, Italy, Greece. It's like a travelogue. Read my CV, and you'll find there's a song in Australia. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. And then the song goes on where you've travelled. Well, for me, it'd be 6 months before I finished the song. But the fact is, we have a focus as well, as best as we can, on what happens in the European part of the world. And so, for me, as part of my study program, and to wear my second hat as a presiding officer to come here and see yourselves, is trying to reinforce in your minds that it doesn't mean that because there isn't a constant flow of Australians through here, that you're out of sight and out of mind. Quite the contrary, because we have shared responsibilities, as was raised, in respect of East Timor. And of course, there are opportunities opening up for the Australian Parliament, not the government, in terms of our relationship as a parliament with East Timor very shortly. So, far be it from me to say that there's not that we sit on our hands and do nothing. I think the only thing that will slow us down this year is the election, and that will be probably from, well, you know, a lot of people want to get re-elected to their job. I don't understand why, but they want to. That will occupy their minds from now until probably the 14th of September, when their fate will be known and Parliament is reconstituted mid to late November. So there is a hiatus in a lot of the work of the Parliament this year. There is not a hiatus, though, in terms of the work of the government. The work of the government continues at a solid pace through the likes of our ambassador, through the likes of our foreign affairs, defence and trade representatives right across the world. So I think I better stop there. Otherwise, I'm going to be accused of hogging this session, and that would be most unfortunate with my name if I hogged this session for too long. Over to you. Thank you, Chair.
Muito obrigado, Presidente. Foi uma honra recebê-lo e ouvir as suas informações e a sua intervenção tão interessante e documentada. Os nossos trabalhos estão encerrados.
Muito obrigado.